it, precious kinklings. You're listening to Kegis for Kinky, and we're your friendly neighborhood kinksters.
Jen
And Eden. And today we have an extra kinkster in the
and
house.
hi, I'm Miss Blue Thickums.
Awesome. And Miss Blue Thickums is here with us today to discuss Church of Blasphemy.
When religion and kink collide.
Hello, and welcome to the K's for Kinky podcast. This podcast discusses adult topics, so if you are offended by adult topics or are under the age of 18, please stop listening now. Also, while Miss Jen is a therapist, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not to be taken as personal therapy for you. She is not your therapist. And if she is your therapist, just remember that what she says only technically counts in your private sessions.
Honestly, it always sounds like we're making shit up on the podcast. Like, people are like, that's funny, but it's like, no, we really are just going through. Hi, Miss Blue. Thank
Hello.
You so much for joining us.
Do you want to see our cats?
Yes. Show me that pussy.
Oh my God, it's so hairy. Oh my God.
I will narrate for the audience. This is Echo. Echo is very hairy. He is big and chonky and he's bell-shaped and he's beautiful. I just want to be Echo sometimes.
You guys are going to have me over at some point to play with your pussies and I'm going to love it because this is a year in the making. I'm just saying.
I don't see any reason why you shouldn't come over here right now, except for we're all doing the podcast. So we have limited ability. This is Fabel. He's my son. So for the listeners, Fabel is an orange cat. So what that means is that he has the one brain cell, but he has to share it with all the other orange cats. And he acts like it. Also, this
is like an eighth of a brain cell in function right now by the looks of it.
Yeah, he just didn't even.
Well, they were both sleeping right next to me. So I've just woken them up to show them to you. So they're like.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm sorry, chunk one and chunk two.
Exactly.
Now, it is early in the morning for those of you who don't know, and you may have pieced it together because we may have sounded even sillier in the opening than normal. But Miss Blue is here with us bright and early to talk about the way in which religious upbringing and religious background for her intersects with kink and how she's been using that. And before we start, I actually want to do a shout out immediately. Miss Blue, can you talk about the class that you're currently running?
Yes. So the first Sunday of every month, at least as of currently, at Sanctuary Studios here in Los Angeles, I do Blues Church of Blasphemy, where I teach about religious kink and kind of just the different avenues of it. I've already done my first two classes, and on April 7th, it's early.
Yeah,
April
I think it
7th,
is 7th.
I'll be. April 7th, I'll be doing my third class. I believe it's Holy Versatile, where I'll be teaching the different ways where you can use different lingos and how to like rewrite kind of the different language in your role playing and different things in your scenes.
I'll go ahead and put a link to the class in our description so you all can click on that. And if you're listening into this in the future and you're sad about it, you should still be looking up Miss Blue Thickums online and trying to figure out through FET when you can make to one of these Sunday classes, because this is a really, I think it's an evergreen topic.
You never know. Like, if you're listening to this in the future, 8 years from now, maybe Miss Blue is still teaching that class every, month. You never know.
I'm pretty sure that Miss Blue will have already actually established a full Church of Blasphemy by that point and will be leading it. So at that point, we'll all see you there, because we'll be there every Sunday mass.
Right.
Not every
Sunday. I mean, as the plan is of right now is it'll be a class on repeat, because it's technically a 5-course class right now. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a repeat class. And then I've had actually a pretty big outreach from people in other states that want it. So I'm in the process of potentially putting it in a way that I can get it online so people out of state can also get access to it.
Totally. So I have thoughts. And we're doing a little bit of a free form today on this one, because having a person who is teaching classes on this come in and talk about the intersection of their religious upbringing with their kink is a really special opportunity, because we all, in some way or another, even if we were raised sans religion, have to interact with the authority of religious influence in the world around us. That's not something that we can really escape. If you live in America, you're not really escaping it, unless you live in an area where somehow you do. I don't, that might be the literal living under a rock at that point. Yeah. So I guess the first thing I want to ask you about, Miss Blue, is what is your background? Like, how did religion
influence your early life?
Thank you. that question there formed by this person here.
The fun part that I like to my fun little tidbit that I like to give when I'm talking about religious kink or just myself is that I love to say that I am quite literally in my upbringing, my childhood, and to this very day as we speak, I am quite literally a preacher's daughter. My biological father and the person I call my father now are preachers. My biological father was a Southern Baptist preacher. We started off Nazarene when I was around 10, which is, if you know anything about Christians, Nazarenes are usually very strict, like to the T Christians. And then when I was about 10, we kind of trailed off. Somehow we went into Southern Baptist. So we kind of like, we're like, okay, we don't want to be that strict anymore. And then my mother's side were Catholics. How those two got together, don't ask me. but
here
so here I came, and I grew up in both sides of the church, going to Catholic church and Christian church. And at some point, my family was like, "Okay, you're old enough. You can make a choice. Which one do you want to go to?" And I was like,
"No pressure."
Right. And I was like, well, one of them's going to hate me for the rest of my life, and I'm going to fall asleep in church every day at one of them. So which one am I going to choose? Catholicism wasn't really my thing. Like, it wasn't something I could follow along in as a child. And I was like, okay. So I decided to go with Southern Baptist, and that's where I kind of stayed with as a teenager and growing up. And eventually when I was around 18 or 19, just with my history as a teenager and growing up and just some trauma I went through, you develop a brain. Around 19, I kind of stepped away from the church. I wasn't happy with what I thought religion was. I still believe that there's probably a God out there. Do I believe it's the Christian God? It's questionable. But I do believe there's something out there greater than ourselves.
So. Yeah, I love that. I developed a brain. Yes.
Well, and I want to say, I want to just say for anyone listening who is spiritual, religious, or has faith of some sort, you can have a brain and have these things. But I appreciate also this concept.
Oh, I didn't even mean it like that.
No, I know. I'm just hearing and wanting to make sure we clarify and hold space, because I know for me, I'm a spiritual woo-woo pantheist person. Yeah. But it requires your brain to grow to be able to interact with these concepts, to ask these questions, and to actually form your own opinions. And unfortunately, a lot of children grow up and they are told what to think and they're not given options. And it's kind of like brainwashing. So this concept of I grew a brain, it's like I grew the ability to question for myself. And upon interacting with these concepts, realized.
Yeah.
So would you describe yourself as a spiritual or religious person in outside of kink, like in your kind of general practice at this time in your life?
I kind of like, I bounce back and forth. I say I'm a Christian, but just because I still believe in a lot of those beliefs, just because I grew up in a very traditional household. I grew up in the Bible Belt. I grew up a very traditional Southern home. I was raised a Southern Belle. So I still say I'm a Christian. I don't practice Christianity. I haven't practiced Christianity in a long time. I think the last time I stepped inside of a church was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I'm more or less, I'm more spiritual than anything else.
Yeah.
I think maybe people would want to know how you got into kink.
Oh yeah. Let's do that. Now describe the path from where we left you when you were questioning religion.
And then we want to see how they combined.
Yes. That's good.
Fair. In my class, if anyone decides to attend past, you know, listening to this podcast, I'm very open in my classes. And I always say that I'm an adult. People who hear me teach, and then you guys, you to both of you are adults. I've been around the block.
Hey there, precious kinklings. I wanted to take a chance to pause and let you know that moving forward in the rest of this episode, we're going to be covering some content that some listeners may find disturbing. One, we're going to be referencing somebody starting kink underage, which is actually something that does happen. It's not ethical. It's not something that we support. It's something that happens in some people's stories. And we are holding space for any person who's interviewing with us to be able to share their experiences in their life. So that is something that's going to be referenced. If you don't want to hear about that topic or that reference at all, this is probably a good place to kind of jump off the episode, because on top of that, we also are going to be discussing some pretty severe religious trauma and child abuse. So this is a little bit of a heavier episode. There's a lot of laughs in this episode as well, but I'm going to trust all of you to self-select whether or not this is something that you think you should be listening to today. If this is where we say goodbye to you today, we'll see you next time on KS for Kinky. And if this is something that you want to listen to and you are staying with us today, thank you so much for sharing space with us. And without further ado, we'll jump into the episode.
We didn't start at the legal age of 18, which is most consenting age in the United States.
No, I started at 33.
Well, shit. I'm out. Well, for me at least, I didn't start at 18. With my history, I didn't lose my virginity at the legal age of 18. I lost mine very young due to trauma. And so when I started getting into kink, I was underage. Mm-hmm. I always say I got into kink because I learned about bedroom kink, you know, boyfriend pulling your hair, spanking your ass, the cute shit, as I like to call it. Nothing wrong with that.
Not the slap and tickle.
Yeah. no yucking to anyone's yum, but I call it the cute shit. And it kind of progressed from there because I was like, ooh, I like this. And it got crazier. And then I turned into a fucking nympho little masochist. let me preface with this. I was emancipated at 16. So when I met my first dominant, he was into kink and all those things. He had been around the block a time or two, and he had started teaching me all the things. And he was actually the one that helped teach me more about BDSM on a, I don't want to say professional level, but on a level that was more educated than what I was learning. And that's kind of how it all started to where I am today.
Now ask your intersection questions.
Well, I also wanted to pause and kind of like hold space for the fact that, like, yes, this is your lived experience and we are including it on the podcast. I think that we do need to be able to talk to people who have had early experiences with kink. We're also not advocating that anybody underage starts kink, but This is the reality, and we are going to hold space for this on the podcast. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for the vulnerability. Going into the next question, when did you start to explore the intersection between your religious upbringing and your experiences with religion and spirituality and how you were practicing kink?
So I think it was about the same time I stepped away from the church. I was about 19 or 20 when I stepped away. I was kind of looking for healing, I guess is the best way to put it. I was just hurting in so many ways. And at the time I was going to school, I don't know, it would be ironically or unironically, for psychology, because I wanted to understand kind of how the brain worked. And I was going also for like to hope to aid towards a career I was going towards. And I was like, all right, if I understand how the brain works, maybe I will understand why the trauma happened to me and the laundry list of things that happened. And the dominant I had helped me walk through and was like, well, maybe you understand, like, you're a masochist, right? And I was like, well, yeah. He's like, you understand that, like, you physically deal with your trauma through that, right? And I was like, what?
Excuse me?
What the fuck are you talking about, Willis? Like, what?
Oh, thank you for that reference. That right? Many of our listeners may not understand, but I do. I appreciate it.
Welcome. I think a week later in my psychology class, I went through and we were talking about that shit. I went home and I was like, sir, fuck you.
How dare you tell me
fuck
the truth?
You very much.
Right? And then I went, okay, I know there's this thing called a religious kink. And I know I have religious trauma. Let's test. I want to test the water. I was like, this might be either it's going to turn into a hard limit or maybe this might help, because therapy isn't helping this shit. Yeah. And I know it's deep in my roots of religious trauma, and I want to not hurt from this anymore, because I had nightmares from it. I had PTSD from it. I hated the church. I was like sick from it. It was the religious trauma was so deep that I legally changed my like birth certificate first name.
Yeah.
So it was just like, what can I do? And that's how I started getting into religious kink.
Yeah.
It was like walking through the steps of like, maybe kink can help me get through it if like therapy can't.
Yeah. I'm going to pause this really fast because I have to close the window and I have to pee.
Talk while you do that.
I have to pee too. So you can talk, but I'm going to go pee. But also, okay. I love where this, I don't love what you've gone through, but this is really cool. I hate to stop you. I want to make sure we can hear you and not hear the fucking lawnmower outside. And also urine is going to happen. So,
oh God.
Well, how else should I describe it? It pee is going to occur.
Go. Oh God. Why is everything on it?
What?
Sorry. They went to grab their scooter and it's like covered in a jacket and two pillows for some reason. I don't know.
Oh, I saw booty.
Ayo. Oh, she saw your booty. They said, I hope it was good.
It was.
She said it was. Why am I doing this? Okay.
Now that we've scrolled on booty.
I was just going to say, as a kinkster and therapist, I want to promote therapy. And one thing I love to say all the time is that kink is not therapy, but it can be very therapeutic. Yes. And I love the fact that you can have therapy and that can work for a lot of people. Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm a big advocate. Yes. But also, people can also process things through kink. And if you have a kink aware therapist, you can use both, not in the therapy route, because like there are boundaries, but like if you're processing with other people through kink and can talk about that in your therapy, that can be really, really healing and wonderful. Okay. So that's a shout out for me, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I will say when I was going through all of that, I didn't stop therapy. Mm-hmm. I've been in therapy since I've been a legal adult.
But you found that both was really helpful.
Yeah, both have been really helpful. But when I started off, I was still in the South. So a kink therapist didn't exist.
Right.
Out there 10 years ago.
Oh, exactly. So I didn't
I didn't have that as an option.
It barely exists here now. I mean, it's hard to find. So
yeah, so I kept both, but I used them together.
I got back from the bathroom and I was thinking while I was in there.
Oh. That was very quick.
I knew what I needed to do. I got in. I got it done. I got out.
That's what he said.
I want to believe that in that situation, I would get what needed to get done. Like the person, I take care of them and then get out. I don't want to be like, oh, I just got myself off. Like that's lazy.
That's not what he said. Okay.
As a non-binary person who has mask parts, I refuse for those parts to not be delivering. That didn't come out right.
Okay, can you just, you went pee, got it. You're back now. What were you thinking when you went pee?
Is the most risque podcast we've done so far. I was thinking this serious concept of, yes, I heard Ms. Jen being like, I want to advocate for therapy because I'm a therapist.
Well, we chit-chatted about that while you were going.
I know, I overheard it. And I was thinking to myself like, yes, good for that. But also, you know, there's different types of medicines for different types of wounds, and different people need different types of combination. And there's a reason why, yes, like we should always go to the doctor if our leg is broken. We should, but you can also apply other types of remedies. And like from a spiritual standpoint, how do we access the spiritual when we've had trauma where certain major avenues are completely cut off, right? Kink is a very spiritual transformative experience, in my personal opinion. And I think it's interesting when people engage in kink and don't process the spiritual aspect. It makes logical sense to me that you would be seeking spiritual healing through physical impact because our vessels hold our spirit. And I think it makes even more logical sense as long as you're careful, right? Because we're talking right now about getting into this, your psychological trauma. But being able to then combine the physical medicinal effect with your psychological deliberate awareness of this was my religious trauma, let's intersect them. It's a really powerful choice. Okay. And I can see how that was healing for you.
Oh yeah.
So okay, tell us more about this healing process.
Well, yeah. So how did you, can you talk about some of the first scenes you had and how you organized this thing?
Was it organized?
It was organized and very fucked up.
Can we put it on the podcast or is it too fucked up for the podcast?
Oh, you can put it on the podcast. It's just really fucked up.
This is our second trigger warning, and it's a big one because Miss Blue is about to discuss childhood abuse and religious trauma. The description is graphic enough that I feel the need to warn listeners to be prepared because this is a very sad story and very hard to hold. This is also the lived experience of our guest, and we're so honored that she felt you know, comfortable sharing it with us here and with all of you. The second part of this warning is for a corrective kink experience, which you can't really understand the full meaning of unless you listen to the first half. So it's all included under this trigger warning. So if this is something that you want to go ahead and skip over, hopefully I've made it easy to do that. And I've of course used our handy dandy chime sound so that you know when it starts and when it ends.
So, I mean, I don't know. Most people who are listening to this and have, I don't know, been to church, any form of church, usually have like a Bible of some form or their religious book mm-hmm. of some form. And I had a Bible that I had my entire life, basically, of going to church. And I still have it till this day. And it's actually going to be turned into one of the many paddles that I'm making that's turning into a Bible paddle.
Nice.
I hated that Bible. I had mentioned it actually in my last class that it was used as a punishment. If I messed up, if I mouthed off, if I raised my voice even an octave higher than it needed to, if it just even my family was ridiculously strict, and I'm the baby of seven. Yeah, the age difference between me and the oldest is like 20 years. Oh, and wow. Between me and the second youngest is a decade. There's a big gap, and so that's a whole different can of worms to even get into with that shit. They raised me really different compared to them. They were a lot harder on me, and it was a shit show. And so they would punish me with that Bible, whether they'd beat me with it, whether they make me read it. And so I went home. I usually go home for Christmas. That's like the big thing. Everyone goes home for Christmas. It's like, fucking everyone goes home. That's like the home base. Everyone goes home for Christmas. And I went home for Christmas and I did something. I was looking for something or something. And I went into my closet of my childhood room and I was rifling through and I pulled a box back and I found all these tally marks on the back of the closet wall. And there were roughly like 87, 80 something tally marks. And it was how many times I had read the Bible. It was my punishment. I would have to read the Bible. And I think that was over the span of like a few years. So it was a scene where I had been so long ago. I was beaten with this Bible by my first dominant. I was beaten with the Bible and he was quoting like verses. And I would have to specifically tell him what book and chapter it came from. And if I didn't get it wrong, I was hit with it harder.
If you didn't get it wrong?
If I got it wrong.
Okay, got it.
He would just go harder.
So when you had
that was consensual.
Yes.
Yeah. Just pointing that out for the listener.
When you had that scene, what did you feel like during and after?
During, I felt, I was like angry, yeah. Like really fucking angry.
Yeah.
Because it just reminded me of my childhood. But he fucked with my head. Like the first maybe three or four times if I got it wrong, he'd go harder. But where he tried to like correct it, the behavior, is that if I got it wrong after those first couple of times, he would give me words of affirmation. And I'd start wailing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what? I'm sorry, what? Yeah. Because as a kid, if I got it wrong, I got the belt or a switch or whatever was in close vicinity of my father's hand.
That sounds like a really powerful scene.
Yeah.
What was your aftercare like?
A lot of Kleenexes and him just profusely telling me, I think for an hour, that he loved me.
Yeah.
And that I was okay. And that I didn't deserve what I grew up with. And that he would somehow find a gallon of acid to burn the Bible in if that's what I wanted.
Yeah. Gosh, that was a really powerful share. Miss Blue, I just want to kind of, I just need to take a breath. I'm holding back tears for you, man. Fuck.
Well, that's the kind of visceral experience that is a great example of how kink can be therapeutic and could not happen in a therapist's office, right?
Yeah.
And you can process, you can take that experience.
An unethical therapist might help you out in the office that way, but
yeah. And you can take that experience and then process it in therapy, and that just reinforces it. And that's, were you able to do that actually? Were you able to take that into your therapist and process that? I don't know, because they're not kinky, right?
Also, when they just reported as domestic abuse, like,
that's what I'm thinking now. Like, if it was me, I would be like, let's talk about this. But I'm realizing that at the time, and the therapist and the region, probably not. Never mind. I retract that question.
I mean, I can answer that question, but on like a different level.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So that the trauma that happened with me having to read the Bible from front to back, and if I ever got a Bible verse wrong from my biological father, he ended up going to prison.
All right.
Done. I ended up going to a therapist and having to go to pretty severe therapy to like break the like psychosomatic shit he had put me through.
Yeah.
So I ended up going to therapy to work through and break the like trauma he had put me through. No. So there was a time where I'd got to talk to a therapist about like, yeah, like one time I didn't get John 10:13 right, and he, you know, broke a rib over it, and I couldn't sleep for a week.
Yeah.
And she had to like, she like would work through that with me. So I've gone through like a regular therapist and like worked through all that trauma, but it wasn't until 4 or 5 years later to where I got to work through that with a partner who cared about me and in a kink setting.
This is the end of the heavier graphic section depicting childhood abuse and the corrective kink experience. So if you are coming back in, or if you're listening and you're kind of waiting for that ending chime that I promised, here it is.
I want to move us along your timeline a little bit and go into, can we talk about when you became a pro?
I think I started, I was 22 roughly when I started becoming a pro. I started off as a professional submissive. I started mostly as a performer, actually. That was just because usually that's how I was happiest. I like putting on a show.
Yeah.
It's usually, I was like, yeah. I was like, beat the shit out of me. Let's do this. just because I prided myself on, like, I knew I could take a lot. And I knew I could scare a lot of people with how much I could take.
Yeah, some sadism going on there too. Got some sadism.
That's motivation. I want to scare people.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like it's a really weird thing to say.
But yeah, no, that's good. That's good. It's like you want to mind fuck people. Like it's a type of emotional and psychological sadism. Yeah, but you also get to be masochistic at the same time. Like it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah. So it was like, it was an art for me. It was like, all right, we're gonna do this, and I'm gonna get to watch people like freak the fuck out. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And it was great because I mean, my first dominant trained me old guard. So there was the art of like it being old, a very high protocol situation, then beat the shit out of me, and then, you know, them give them praise and then be like, you did that. That was fucking dope. I don't know how you did that. You go, girl. Are you okay? Like, you need a cookie. Like,
need a cookie. Because this is the thing. At this point, if you look up Miss Blue Thickums on FetLife, you're going to see the most gorgeous profile picture of all time. You're going to see heavy religious imagery combined with like gorgeous, like intense sensual kink in this vibe. Like, it's a very cool picture. But what I'm pointing out, besides just, you know, at this point, your pro self is tied to religious inversion, or rather like blasphemous religious kink. So when did you start to do that? Because I know when I first met you, what was it, like 6 years ago or something like that? You weren't quite doing that, or I wasn't aware of it. I don't know which one is true. But when did it start for you to start, when you were like, I'm going to step into this as part of my professional persona?
Technically, I started teaching religious kink. I started really getting into religious kink 8 years ago. I started teaching it about 6 years ago. And I really like full force stepped into it maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
It was kind of a hard thing for me to fully step into It was the same thing when I stepped into the age regression community, that being in DDLG and being a little, is that even though we all say that BDSM community should be accepting and that we shouldn't yuck people's yum and that we should kind of keep our opinions to ourselves and things of that nature, people don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm one to say and advocate that littles are probably one of the most hated community, sadly, still to this day. We get called a lot of nasty things along with the D types in the DDLG community. We have a lot of nasty things said about us. And I truly hate that, because I wish that people would just take the time to understand what we do and why we do it.
Yeah.
And with that being said, not the exact same things, but the things and the hatred that is put with the DDLG and the age regressors and things like that, it's the same thing that happens with religious kink. We're hated on, nasty things are said about us, and we're not looked at kindly. And so I understood that the further I stepped into it and the further I represented it, I would either lose more clients, or I would be frowned upon, or I would have hateful words coming my way, or X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But I also understood that it was something that meant a lot to me. And I also, in my personal life, I'm a huge advocate for different things. And I understood that with my history and my trauma and my personality, this was something I wanted to be an advocate for on this side of the border. And I wanted to be able to be in this lifestyle and be like, I want to destigmatize why people are so against this. I want people to be able to enjoy it and not look at it like it's such a bad thing. Yeah. Like, yes, there's still lines I don't cross. Like, I'm not going to put an upside down cross somewhere on my body, and I'm not going to roll around with a triple six on me. Like, there's still lines I don't exactly cross, but I want to destigmatize the hatred and the disgust for it, because still there's a lot of people who can gain from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to jump in and say, one, totally respect your boundaries on the lines you don't cross, and also want to respect people who do want to cross those. I think a lot of people carry certain types of core trauma. One of them is in childhood. Therefore, we get a lot of hatred for people who actually dare to or can get themselves into a headspace where they can be young again. God forbid they also are able to engage with those aspects of themselves in a way that is taboo. Right. That does allow you to enjoy dark age play, right? Mm-hmm. Similarly, with religion or spirituality, most people have trauma. Most right. people have history. Most people have some part of themselves or their lives that have been run sometimes into the ground yeah. by external religion enforced upon, or that they are now enforcing upon others. So right. I am not surprised to hear that this is a taboo within kink. And I want to be clear as well. We've talked about this on the podcast a bit, but I reflect upon it, and I'm glad you are as well, that for a community that talks a big game as if everything is taboo and we're all really open and stuff, really actually no. Being hit with a paddle is not taboo anymore.
Yeah.
Going into a dungeon is not really taboo anymore. It is to the vanilla, sort of, but not even really. We have a yeah. lot of mainstream kink coming in. But it's the stuff that is attached to our spirit, attached to our emotions, attached to who we are as people, and attached to our minds and our memories that people are the most afraid of. And I want to challenge anybody who's even listening to this or who is feeling uncomfortable to understand and to sit with why it is that when you see someone like Miss Blue or anybody else exploring something that you're afraid of, why that has to mean that you need to try to shut that down. And I would argue that it's because you see a mirror and you can't handle your own reflection. But I appreciate your advocating for this. I think that you're poking your fingers into a very interesting part of how spirituality can interact and intersect with kink. So, shake it off. Shake
well,
it off.
There's also, I also want to point out too, that we're talking a lot about using kink to process religious trauma and to have corrective experiences. And I think there's also a lot of people out there who simply combine their spirituality with kink in a positive way. So, you know, I just want to kind of point that out too, that when we talk about the intersection, there's multiple paths.
So, Miss Blue, yes. I'm new to religious trauma and kink processing, and I am interested in coming to you for a scene for religious kink. And I want to do the scene the way that you want to do it. I'm curious about how you form it, right? So I'm coming to you and I said, okay, help me structure kind of a basic intro scene where we can kind of play around with some of these concepts in the safest way possible. What would that look like? Can you walk me through what that would be like?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Typically, just because I've progressed my knowledge with this, I usually ask a person what religion it is that they practice or what religion they're aiming for. Mm-hmm. I've tried to round my knowledge out just a little bit, because usually I feel like when people think religious kink or religious play, they're thinking like Catholic and Christianity. Mm-hmm. That's like usually the two biased ones. And I've tried to round it out to at least 7 religions. So there's a little bit of options for people, because I understand that not everyone is Catholic and not everyone is Christian. Mm. So that's usually, I give people a little bit of option on that one, because I've had people come to me with different religions and they're like, oh my God, you know other shit? I'm like, I know enough to get me by. Yeah. So that,
let's say that I picked Catholic though. Let's say that I was like, oh, I want to do the generic, like what everybody thinks of. So
like how we're equating Catholicism and generic.
Well, I mean, when you think
basic bitches.
Okay, I'll be real. If American Horror Story made a whole season with a bunch of nuns and it was kind of hot and we were all writing fan fiction in our heads, and I may have read some of it and I read it a lot.
Of course,
I think we know that that's the mainstream. If American Horror Story is doing it, that's the
well, because you have all the like Catholic school girl skirts and the spanking parties and like all that stuff is very that's
the
very
hothead nun who's like so.
I mean, to be fair, all my like fetish outfits are nun outfits.
So yeah. That's what I mean. Okay, so now we're going into this. So I've come to you. I've identified I want to do a Catholic scene.
Okay.
What are we looking at?
Okay, so would you want to be like the S type, or like the S type or the D type in this scenario?
I want to be the S type in the scenario. Let's keep going.
Okay.
This is fun for me. This is going good. I mean, I'm making it sound like I'm just like actually like doing this for the listeners to hear, but really I'm just negotiating with Miss Blue. It's fine.
Okay.
Unbeknownst to Miss Blue, that's not how this works, Eden.
It's called a subversive negotiation. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. No, but for real, let's keep going.
Okay. Usually the next question is like, okay, well, we're talking Catholic. With Catholics, we have the main titles in it. We have the priests, we have the bishops, we have things like that, and then we have the nuns. So in this, if you're wanting to be the S type, would you rather me be like trying to be like a female or female presenting, so would you want me to be like the nun that's kind of punishing you, or would you want me to try to be like a priest or something?
Well, and that's pretty cool, that question right there. I want to point out, because I think it would be pretty fucking bomb for you to step in as a femme presenting priest, because that right there already is an inversion. Okay, cool. So you would be the femme presenting priest, and then like I would be like probably like a nun or something, because I don't know the hierarchy, but I'm guessing that would work that way.
Yeah, I mean, you could be a nun, or you could just be a regular, you know,
parishioner,
goer. Yeah,
a church person. Okay. A churchin. Okay, so I'm a churchin, you're the priest. What would the scene kind of look like?
I mean, one I've done in the past is usually pretty popular, is like the confessional scene.
Miss Jen's over here. Such fertile ground.
All your sins.
So I come in, I tell you some shit that I did that's fucked up, and then I get a consequence or punishment from you, and that's the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just I thank you for indulging me and for letting me goof around with that a little bit. I think that's a really cool kind of basic starting scene, and that is kind of the default, but that I would imagine. Can you tell us a story, if you're willing to and if you're able to ethically, about a scene you've done with somebody that's religious based that is more complex, nuanced, and not so common?
I'm trying to think of one that isn't super crazy.
Not too crazy for the podcast.
Yes. That's why I'm like, all right, give me a second.
It's like, why not?
Shen, tell me the most insane thing ever. Let's break the air.
Stories and we'll cut it out if we have to.
I mean, I told one, like, so I did that in my last class. I gave them like a baby story, and then I gave them my like extreme story, and it had people crying.
Did you trigger warning?
I trigger warned the crap out of them in my class.
Good, good.
Yeah, I trigger warned the crap out of them. I trigger warned them the entire class. It was,
they walk in, trigger warning.
We'll just trigger warning this whole episode.
I will not give you that warning. I will not tell that story, but I was okay. just But if you come to my classes, just know the second class.
We'll come to classes.
All right.
Just know that the second class, I will trigger warn the crap out of you if you guys come. So I'm a pro. I've been a pro switch for almost 4 years now, and I've been attached to a dungeon. I was like freelancing, I guess you could say. I didn't really attach myself to a dungeon until this past year. And usually dungeons have set rules. So I had this scene with this particular client before I was attached to a dungeon. So I'm preferencing this now before
I AKA, I didn't break the rules of the dungeon if you're listening. I just, this was outside the scope.
Yeah, this was not inside a dungeon, and I was not attached to a dungeon when I did this.
All right. Disclaimer.
Yeah. Well, in case anyone that hears the story knows. Oh, sweet Lord. Okay, so to be fair, this was a Catholic scene.
Okay.
So it's not generic, but it's Catholic.
Got it.
So this dude had a thing for like the Catholic nuns. It starts generic, but I swear it's not generic. I'm going to go to hell. Ah! I was like, I'm going to go to hell.
All right, it's okay.
Story.
All your friends are going to be there. It's fine.
I know. I'm going to drive the bus. It's fine. So I actually flew back to the Bible Belt for this one. Like, he paid to fly me back to the Bible Belt for this thing. He found an abandoned church.
Wow, already amazed.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. And he wanted to do this, like, older, like, pilgrimage. I don't know, like, 1700s, like, more walking through the woods, Catholic priest situation. I don't even know what he was aiming for, but it worked. It was magical. And he wanted to act like we were going to, some king had sent us and he wanted us to start a town and he needed us to build the church. I was like, okay. And we found this church and he said this would be a great place for us to start. But he said, before we start, he was like, sister, I need to confess something. I don't feel right restarting here, starting fresh, until I've confessed my sins to you. And I told him, well, I'm not high enough in the clergy for me to, but I mean, I can try. He said, well, I'll bless you and I'll forgive you. And then you'll be high enough. And I was like, okay, I don't know.
When you're doing a scene, you can make some shit up. It's
all right. All right. I was like, okay. I'm like, all right. And he goes, well, sister, I've had dreams about you that I shouldn't have. And I went, oh. I was like, okay. I was like, well, what kind of, father, I was like, what kind of dreams have you had? And he's like, the unholy dreams. And I said, well, I think that means I should probably punish you. And he said, okay. And he just immediately like stripped down. And I was like, okay. And we're in outfits. Like, I'm dressed as a nun and he's dressed as a priest. So he has the typical like priest outfit on. And he strips down butterball ass naked in the woods. I was like, okay, sir, it is cold outside, but all right. And at the time I have like my toy bag. So I have like my riding crop cross. Like, there's a cross at the end of this riding crop. Love it. Mm-hmm. I have my paddles and everything. And I proceed to have my impact scene with him in the middle of the woods. Butterball ass naked.
I love the butterball ass naked.
Butterball ass naked. While he's screaming that he's sorry that he's had impure dreams about his holy sister and that he wishes not to do it again. I was not attached to a dungeon when this happened. And then he says, well, sister, I brought something that I will ensure that I won't have these dreams again. And I said, oh. And he goes down to his bag and he pulls out a and he asks me to, so that he will no longer have impure thoughts about me and his dreams.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if we can include this in the podcast or not, but we'll decide. But I'm happy to know it and we'll see if it makes it in. But this is epic. This is epic. I hope he had the best day of his life. Like, I hope that was like dream come true, like best day ever.
I believe so, because I got tipped out very handsomely.
That's fucking fantastic. That's fucking awesome.
No pun intended.
Tip. Just in case we can't, I want to keep it in as long as possible.
That's what you said.
What we're hearing is wish fulfillment folded into shame and humiliation, but that being transformed from something that may have been just purely traumatic into something that gives you a sense of fulfillment completion. It's
that's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I have an idea for you.
Oh my gosh, now we're brainstorming.
No, you need, like, if you have a bottle of lube, right, then you need to put a label on it that says confessional tears.
Okay. to be fair, you're either gonna love me more or hate me a little.
Did you just spit? You didn't use lube?
No.
Okay. Oh, geez. I don't know. You said love you or hate you more. I'm like, did you lube him at least? Okay, sorry.
No, I did. Well, no. So I always joke that I spit. So I'll spit for lube. But no, this is unrelated. We're talking about tears and lube and things. I technically am ordained, which is great now, even more to the whole religious thing. But no, I sell my own holy water.
I want it. How much?
How much
for your holy water?
The holy water.
Oh, wait. Yeah. What is it?
You guys know they call me Squirtle, right?
Okay.
I'm still processing, but I am tentatively asking.
Okay.
So how much for the holy water?
But now you have a whole line. You have the holy water, and then you have the confessional tears. You can sell them as a package deal. Always the entrepreneur. You're welcome. All right. Okay.
I don't know how to dismount from this. I think the last question I'd have is, Miss Blue, can you do a final pitch to explain to people what some of the benefits are if you can safely engage in religious trauma processing through kink?
My brain just errored 404. One more time.
Speak to, at the very end here, the positive benefits of intersecting religion and kink, or religious trauma and kink, if it's done safely, everybody's consenting, and there's adequate aftercare. What are some of the positives? Why would you advise that some people take a look at this and consider it?
Because honestly, it's not as taboo and as sinful as it looks like on the outside. I feel like media and just people in general, yes, I understand there's the whole separation between church and state, and that religion shouldn't be involved in certain things and XYZ, but there's such thing as dark humor and enjoying things and just having fun with it and everything. And you can have fun with religion and sex and taboo.
For some of us, pain, orgasms, pleasure, anxiety, these things are offerings to your deities. Like, there's mm-hmm. ways to intersect and play with these things that are even beyond the scope of what we talked about on this podcast. But Miss Blue, I gotta thank you for coming on here, being so vulnerable, talking about something that is so serious but also is so fun. We really ran the spectrum. We ran from one end to the other and came back again, and I just want to again point out that the last after image I want is of the holy water and the lube. Like, let's leave on that
holy
note.
Holy water and confessional tears. Get it right. You gotta stick with the brand.
Sorry, I'm still learning and I'm new here. Okay, so
it's on sale now for $39.99. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually,
it's on sale for $6.66.
Ooh.
That's amazing. Well, I meant the package deal, though. Just up that price.
Michelle really wants to take people for all they're worth. She's charging $40 for the combination of these two things.
I mean, you work really hard to fill up that bottle. So I'm just saying.
I work hard. I love that this is where this went. Y'all, I just want to tell the audience again. No, I'm just kidding. I want to tell the audience. I want to tell the audience that we did not script this. We did not write questions for this.
Yeah, this was an off the cuff kind of, well, that's also a name of a podcast, but this was definitely, we did not have preset questions.
No.
Today.
And so.
And we're so happy about this.
We want to thank Miss Blue for really showing up. And I kind of wanted to brag, like, this is what happens when you improv with somebody and you just throw a topic into the ring and you see what comes up. Loved this interview. Miss Blue, thank you so much for being with us today. We want you back. I don't know for what topic, but you got to come back because you're just fun to talk to.
I was like, I got a plethora of knowledge. So fucking
yeah. Let's do our shout outs because we would be remiss if we did not thank the people who got us here today. Miss Jenkins.
So Miss Blue, just hang out for a second awkwardly.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, you can shout some stuff out too. We'll tell you something to, oh. If all
for visual reference.
No.
Miss Blue has just mimed a double fisting situation. Okay.
I believe actually with the term was double fellatio.
Okay. I was just okay.
If you're
let's really move on.
Describe
let's now say other people's names who are probably so glad that they're being shouted out after that. We do have a new patron.
Oh, what's their name?
Biff.
Biff?
Yeah.
What? Okay. And who else are we?
Thank you, Biff,
out?
For Thank your Biff. Support. And then we have our Call Me Kinklings, our every episode shout out peeps, which we have, of course,
Puddin.
Yeah, pudding. We also have Jenny.
Yeah, and Squatch.
Or Scratch. There's no W in there. And Spicy Newbies.
Yeah, Spicy Newbies. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody who contributes. If you're interested in being a patron because you have money to burn and you want us to have it, go to our Patreon. It's called Patreon, and it's K is for Kinky.
Yes, that's our podcast is not monetized. It's the only way we can. Yeah.
If you don't have money to burn because you're like the rest of us and you're poor and it's late stage capitalism and we're all just barely scraping by.
Oh Lord.
You can support us by giving us a 5-star review and also by telling us
sharing us with your friends.
Oh.
Telling us we're great is also good. If you want to like write us an email. And our big request is honestly please send us listener questions. We love doing interviews and we're having a fucking blast as you can hear. From this episode. But we also enjoy doing our old style format where Michelle and I shoot the shit and talk about good questions. So we get those questions from you. So please send them and we will answer them. And that's it. That's the show. This is not how we end it. I'm just ending it differently from ever, always.
Take a deep breath. Thank you, Miss Blue, so much for being here.
Thanks
it has
for having
been
me.
Wonderful. We enjoyed seeing all of your stuffies in the background.
Thank you.
Even though the listeners can't see them, they're plentiful and lovely.
Imagine somebody dressed up like a blood-covered nun surrounded by stuffed animals in a pink room, and like it's just like beautiful. That's not actually what's happening, but that's what you should imagine.
Just picture that when you picture Miss Blue during this interview.
Yeah,
I didn't know her. I was blood-covered, but in a
I put a
magical image over your image.
Kind of like when you say, you know, don't think about a green elephant, and then that's all you can see.
I gave you blood covered so that you're like, I gave you like,
I don't know what's happening, Miss Blue. I'm sorry.
Did we ever name this podcast? Is my question.
No, we didn't. Okay. So, hold on. Join us next time here on K is for Kinky.
Be well, precious kinklings.
Be well, precious kinklings.
Bye.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank the Lord Almighty in heaven, we did it. Oh, Jesus.
I want to say that we're getting better at this at season 3. And I think we are. I think the content's getting better, but we're not getting more smooth. We're getting more ridiculous. And
I love it, though. This is great.